You know, John the Baptist, I mean, he's out here baptizing people in the desert, and people are going, isn't he weird? Look at him. Look at that. And it's like, he didn't care what, he wasn't afraid of what people thought. He just said, hey, here's what you got to do. Repent, change your mind, change your conduct, change your heart, and come here over here, and we'll baptize you in water as an outward sign of an inward change.
Well, we get, you know, he is such an example set for us in the Word. You know, I don't wear camel's hair, and I don't eat locusts and honey, but I can, in my way, move forward and share with people what Jesus has done in my life, what he continues to do in my life, how the Holy Spirit moves in my life, and let them know that they can have it too. And that's how we can move forward like John the Baptist, sharing with them, you can have this.
Yes, and not only that, I believe our life, when we truly repent, I'm going to go over those four things again. Change your mind, regret your sins, think differently, and change your conduct. When we start doing that, you know what? People see the fruit of repentance in our lives. So often people think that, oh, I just got to ask God to forgive me. Okay, God, whatever I did today, okay, I'm sorry. Bye. That's it. Got to go to sleep. Thank you, God. Amen. I think that's where a lot of people, what that's what repentance looks like to them. Instead of an actual life change that causes them to say, you know what? Holy Spirit, you just showed me that that was a nasty attitude I just had. Forgive me, Lord. And sometimes we need to say to the person, hey, forgive me for that nasty attitude.
And that's tough. I've had to do that before. And that's a very humbling experience.
Oh, of course it is.
At least.
Right. But if we are going to actually reflect the life of Jesus, the attitudes of Jesus, we have to change our conduct. We have to... Matthew, that wrote this, was a tax gatherer. He was somebody that had a job that was hated. People really didn't like him at all. And he left the past behind, and he followed Jesus, and he wrote down these words we're talking about right now. Jesus came after John the Baptist. John the Baptist fulfilled his part. He announced the Messiah. And then here comes Jesus right there in the middle of the Jordan River and says to John, I want you to baptize me. And John goes, no, because he knew he was the Messiah. I believe he knew. And he said, no, I can't do that. And he says, no, you're going to do it. Verse 16, when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my son, my beloved, in whom is my delight. Whoa, that will preach. We're going to talk more about this in the second hour, and I can't believe the first hour is already gone.
Gee whiz.
So that just flew right by. We are in Matthew chapter 3, and so we're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. Betty, you mentioned the prayer line earlier. I want you to mention it again. You got about a minute and a half. Because we want people to use it, and boy, they are. I tell you, you are busy. Pastor Jim is busy. We actually need more people to write prayers because you guys are busy with the requests that come in all the time.
Yeah, it's actually it's something that I enjoy doing, and I know Pastor Jim does the same thing. But there are so many needs now that God is willing to meet, and how he meets that is we can through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a prayer request, what we do here at Beacon of Hope is that you send in your prayer request, no matter how big, no matter how small, is we type a prayer under your request. And we take it to the throne of God. We take it boldly and to the throne of grace, and we thank God for answered prayer. And God is answering prayer. I mean, we're getting praise reports, you know, right and left, along with the prayers that are being sent out. And God is a God of love. God is a God of redemption. He is our Redeemer. He's our salvation. And one of the things that we can do for each other is pray. And so if you have a prayer request, please send that prayer to prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you would like to be a part of this mighty moving force of God through prayer, say, please add me. I want to be a warrior. Send it to, again, to say, hey, add me to your list, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and we will be glad to add you. And like I say, God is moving,
he
and
is.
God is good. God is good all the time.
So the prayer ministry is huge. We thank God for it. Our missions work is increasing. I was in Mexico just a couple weeks ago and had a wonderful time with our mission station there with Enrique Zenteno, who is the director of our radio station, Beacon of Hope's radio station, that goes through Central and South America, bringing programs about freedom and being free in Christ, being free just in general, be who you are, who you say you are. And I got some radio spots and things that we'll see here soon and some interviews. We are working on our brand new website for Beacon of Hope because we've been a ministry 18 and a half years, and our website was built in about 06. And so we've had good intentions, but we are finally, it's in process, and we are working on it, and it'll be up here in the next few weeks. And it'll be dynamic when it is, and we will tell you about it when it's ready to go. I'd guess about 4 weeks if I had to guess right now. That's bohmglobal.com. So if you go to that website, it's old and outdated, so you might as well wait for the new one. And it's coming up, and it's going to tell you a little bit about our ministry in Mexico, our ministry to orphans and children that are on the streets that we're feeding, which is a joy to me. I love it. Nan, you got 10 seconds to mention that.
It's a wonderful ministry, and we're doing as the Bible says, reaching out to the children with what they need.
Food, a meal a day, those we find on the street, blankets when it's cold. We now have a new ministry to the old people at night that are cold and on the streets, no place to sleep, with a meal, with a blanket. It's what the gospel's all about, isn't it, kids? That's what it's all about.
When you've done the least little thing, you've done it as unto me, the
Amen.
Word says.
Station ID.
And Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life. I think my finger cut part of that off accidentally. So it's AM 1340, AM 1350, AM 1400, FM 106.1, FM 104.3. We are now on YouTube right now. If you would go to YouTube/TanTalkRadio/live, you will see Nan in the studio in there. You won't see me because I'm in the control room.
No, I'm watching you.
You're watching me, right? You're keeping an eye on me through the glass.
Yes.
I'm running the controls around here, so I'm very controlling, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
That's what I'm doing in here. I'm controlling it all.
You're controlling the show, but you're not controlling of your people.
Oh, thank you, Nan. You're thank welcome. You. That was the right answer right there.
I know it was.
Yeah, I know. Betty, you're coming down here in a couple weeks. Why?
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 Ministry.
All right. I thought ministry, it was just to sit ministry. In the sun and get yourself all red.
No, in fact, someone asked me the other day, they said, you're going to Florida just for the sun. And I said, yeah, for the S-O-N.
For the S-O-N, that's right.
For the S-O-N, because I so enjoy being with the people of Beacon of Hope. They have such joy and such love and like to laugh, but still really seriously love Jesus with all their heart. And no, I really am. I like to get in and pray and worship with people who are true believers and who are not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who reach out a hand to whoever needs it without even thinking about it. And that's what ministry is mm-hmm. ministering to people who other people would turn away from, but not these folks.
Not these folks, huh?
We bring them in and hug them and
welcome them.
Welcome them with loving arms the way that Jesus does.
Absolutely. Come to Clearwater for a service. We'd love to have you. 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Wednesday night, Bible study starts at 6:30. Before each service, we have a prayer meeting. 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, 5:45 on Wednesday night. Everybody's welcome. We walk through the door and you will be loved and greeted. And it's 2058 Weaver Park Drive, right off of Hercules between Sunset Point and Drew. And easy to find, office complex there. You'll see over the door Where Healing Happens, which is the title of this new series here on this show. Nan, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I want to comment. You know, we're seeing people come in, and that's so cool. I mean, we're seeing people come in who've never been to Beacon before. We're also seeing people come in who have been to Beacon before, and they're returning to their family. We love them, and we like to have them there. You know, everyone who comes through the doors, we love having you there. You know, and you know, we're all kind of different, have our own different personalities, and
We're kind of wacky.
Well, I wasn't gonna say that.
We're fun.
But we love. We just
when
love
Betty comes, I'd say we're wacky.
Oh, definitely, we're wacky when Betty comes.
No, it's true, right, Betty?
I love you, Betty.
Hey, we
love
what? You know what? You know what? A merry heart.
That's right.
Like
we have a lot of fun.
We can all say we have very merry hearts.
We do. We have a lot of fun at Beacon of Hope, even in services and afterwards in fellowship at lunch and different things that we do. Wednesday nights are fun and relaxed. And, Nan, you bring your dinner sometimes on Wednesday night. A lot of people do. Come straight from work.
Right. We have the table set up so we can put our Bibles out and our notepads and take notes, and I eat. You know, I wouldn't, if I waited to eat, I wouldn't be able to get there.
Well, and you never share it, so.
Well.
That's something God needs to work
on. Betty, you'll love this story. You know, I bring in my food and I eat, Well, this one time I ordered an entire large pizza.
Yeah.
With the intentions of having it for lunch the next day, which Betty, by the way, I did. But they were all on me. You bring that great smell and stuff in, now you're not even share it with us. And then I didn't share it with them. I felt really bad about that later that night. I'm like, I should have shared my pizza with it. But then it had all been gone. I wouldn't have had any for lunch the next day.
I'm still carrying that grudge on that.
I'm repentant.
Well, you better repent of that.
Yeah, you should have repented because those people may have been hungry.
They might have been, yeah. Including your pastor,
They went home hungry.
They could have been.
No, Betty. Some of them were eating. They just loved the smell of the large pizza. It was wonderful, actually. But from a particular pizza place, it's not just a chain, big chain place, but just kind of a smaller one. It was great. Pastor, it was great.
I know, because I did. I don't know, because I was not offered any. So,
but anyway, so we eat, you know, can eat our food. And, you know, it's kind of a real casual kind of setting, you know.
And
we just welcome people to come
as you are,
come
wear whatever. Yeah.
Bring in a note, a journal. I mean, I take notes. Things are on the board, written on the board, or just notes. I take notes during it.
Absolutely.
I can reflect back on them at a later time. And God will bring those before us at a later time when we need to see it again.
And it's a discussion format. And this week we will finish the book of Philippians chapter 4. It's going to be great. You want to get there. And then we're starting this Matthew series. So we hope to see you soon at Beacon of Hope. And as I said a minute ago, we are on YouTube. We're also going to be having some of our shows on our new website. And you can catch us right now. Go to YouTube/TanTalkRadio/live. Listen to this song by Crowder. One of my favorites. Do you notice how I play the things I like?
Yeah. Yes, that's okay.
Okay. Here we go.
That's good.
Love this song.
I've been held by Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yes yesterday's gone. Hey! All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus.
I've been washed by the blood. Love Crowder on that song. Nan, let's hear your poem.
Poem. Hope in me with all of your heart. If you don't, why not start? You have been forgiven from your sins. Of this new life, you can begin. Hope in me with all that's within you. Those days are gone. This is so true. Don't look at all of those things. For now, a different song you sing. Leave it behind, move on in me, for of those sins you have been set free.
Mm-hmm. Time to move on.
You know, we were talking about anger earlier, just briefly kind of in anger. We're talking more about fear. I don't know if you knew this about me. I used to have an anger problem.
No, I didn't know.
You didn't know that. Oh, no. Not at all. Big time anger problem. The joke got with my family that I probably knew every manager in town. Because if something wasn't just right, I want to see the manager. And I would make the complaint about it. I do see managers now, and I compliment them on things in the restaurant. I do that now. But back then, a long time ago, my family would just...
Yeah, they didn't want to go out to eat with
they
you.
They did not want to go out to eat with
no.
me.
No.
But, you know, that...
Sad.
That is sad. But that was something I was repentant of.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I didn't go to anybody and say, please forgive me, because that was
these are strangers.
Well, because it passed and it went on, and but it was this whole attitude of, you know, if things are not perfect, I'm going to let someone know about it.
Right.
I became repentant of it. It's like, you know, that just tore me up inside. I mean, to act like that was,
right.
It's just, it caused a negative back on yourself.
Right. I find it interesting that you're just willing to talk about that, and I think it's cool because I think so often we try to hide our shortcomings, our sins, our ways of behavior that are not pleasing to God, and we try, if we're confronted, a lot of times people say, "I that's not me, you got that wrong, blah, blah, blah," right? And to really repent, let's go back to that, to really repent, I'm saying them four times again, I mean, saying these four things one more time. Change your mind, regret your sin, think differently. It's actually think differently was first. Think differently, change your mind, regret your sin, change your conduct. So you can't change your conduct, in my opinion, unless you start thinking differently about the situation. So you began to realize, Nan, that, hey, it's not okay to pop off at people. Right?
Oh, most definitely, yeah, it's not.
So you began to think differently about that character trait, correct?
Oh, most definitely.
Change your mind about it, and you thought, no, I better quit doing that. The third one, regret it. Did you regret it?
Oh, did I ever regret it?
Right?
Yes, indeed.
Because after all, people didn't want to go out to eat with you, right?
That's exactly right.
And then the fourth thing was you change your conduct. So you just go, okay, next time I'm upset about something, I'm going to bite my tongue.
Right.
Or I'm just going to not say anything. I'm going to walk out of there and pray for that person, but not pop off at them.
Right.
Okay, that's going to take me over to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to skip the part here where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by Satan. We talked about that at our service this morning. You can read that on your own. I want to go over and see the theme that Jesus picks up on in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out. And for those of you at Beacon that have the handout I gave today, preach crying out is one of those things on that. We need to make note of what Jesus was preaching and crying out. In other words, he was stressing it. It's a teaching. We're teaching right now. When we get into preaching, it becomes more of for me, when I am preaching, it becomes more of a anointed, fast-paced, making points, not trying to teach a concept. But just, it's different. Jesus was preaching, crying out. And here's what he was crying out. Repent. Sound familiar? My Amplified Bible after the word repent in Matthew 4:17 says, change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. I want to go back to Matthew 3:2, where we first gave you this definition of repent that John the Baptist was saying. Think differently, change your mind, regret your sins, change your conduct. Because the last line of Matthew 3:2 is, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I'm in Matthew 4:17, and when Jesus is saying repent, he says, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
I have a study Bible in my study Bible, and for verse 17, part of what it says
is,
becoming a follower of Christ means turning away from our self-centeredness and self-control and turning our life over to God's direction and control. You know, the word control, I mean, you know, let's go back to the anger thing. I felt I was in control.
Right.
And I was in control of my terrible negative actions and attitudes and everything. But when I became repentant of that and realized this was not acceptable behavior and, repented, I mean, I just pride myself on how I was able to really tell people off. You wouldn't know that about me now, seriously. But I mean, it made me feel powerful. But being repentant of that, I give control of that and control of my mouth over to God. And he's in control now.
Amen. Because what God wants for us is found in this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Nan, in heaven, what God wants of you in the area of anger is what?
Me not to be angry?
and to control it, right?
Right. And it...
change your mindset about it.
Change your mindset. But, I mean, it goes hand in hand there, though, with, you know, as I've grown in the Lord and become closer to God, I want to be pleasing to him.
There you go.
I want him to take pride and say,
yes,
Nan is my child, and I am proud of what she's doing.
Amen.
You know, and that's important. I mean, so that seed of anger is gone out of me. It's not there anymore.
Okay, so the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said it is. Jesus said it is. That means the kingdom of heaven is right here. Here's what we can walk in, those attitudes that would be more reflective of God's will for us. The kingdom of heaven represents what God wants for us. Betty, talk to us.
Well, there's a common thread that runs through this, and it's change.
That's right.
I mean, it's a change of attitude, a change here, a change there, remorseful, change our thinking to more positive, uplifting things. And, you know, if we're going to repent of sins, I have to repent today. Because I have a sense of when people up here are driving in Michigan, that I have a tendency to judge them. And
I'm glad I'm not driving in Michigan, or you'd be judging me, right?
I would. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. The way.
Well,
you
judge me down here.
Oh, Lord, have I judge you down there? But I have to quit that because
hurts. Okay, Betty, it hurts my feelings. Terrible.
I know it does, and I apologize. Please forgive me. But when you act out in anger, like Nan did, remember I said did, not does, but did. That when you act out, people see you. My grandkids saw me, and I had to repent because
there you go.
They saw me in a way that I did not want them to see me, you know, mm-hmm. yelling, you son of, you turned them, you almost cut me off. And we do it out of, I mean, it's almost like a split-second decision that you just blurted out, okay, that's where the enemy got in, had a foothold in me, showing my ignorance. I call it my ignorance because of the way I act sometimes. And we have to be remorseful. We have to
That's want repentance.
To repent.
Yes.
That's
yes.
just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have
mm-hmm.
to get, and with me, with me up here, I have to do it regularly. It's just not a one-time thing for me. I got to do it, going to take the kids to school, coming back from school, taking them, driving to see the horses. It's a never-ending battle with me, with the devil, in certain areas of my life that he knows that I'm weak in. And one of them is that sudden that sudden act of ignorance. And it's to say, you know, if someone cuts you off, it's like, hey, thank you for cutting me off. It's like, no, instead of saying that, I need to say, look at him and go, I'm praying for you. I'm going to have a sign that goes, I'm praying for you, because it happens continually. And I know that there are other people that are listening that battle with something on
okay.
a daily basis.
All right.
That they need, and help me out here.
Okay. I want to help you out here.
Go.
Okay.
Go.
In chapter 4, where Jesus is led by the devil out into the wilderness, and there are 3 temptations. Those temptations go right along with 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, that are the pride of life, the pride of the eyes, or the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when you go through these 3 temptations in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan says, oh, you're hungry? Because Jesus hadn't been eating for 40 days, 40 nights. He goes, here, why don't you make bread out of the stone? You know, you can do that. And Jesus says, man shall not live. This is verse 4 of chapter 4 of Matthew. Man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Okay? Jesus quotes scripture in all 3 cases. The first temptation is the lust of the flesh. And then the second one is the lust of the eyes, because the second temptation is, go ahead and throw yourself, Satan says to Jesus, takes him up on a high pinnacle, and he says, go ahead and throw yourself down, because you know the angels, scripture says angels are going to pick you up, don't worry about it. Jesus said, it also says, do not tempt the Lord your God, right? The third one has to do with the pride of life. Down in verse 10 or verse 8, he takes him up on a high mountain, says, hey, you can have, this is all mine, because Satan had control at that point of the kingdoms of the world. And he says, here, you can have this glory, all this. You can have all this. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Okay? And Jesus says, be gone, verse 10. We did a big thing at church this morning on be gone, didn't we, say, Dan?
Oh, yes. It
yeah,
was fun.
Be gone, Satan.
Be gone.
For it's been written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Here is the antidote to the poison of our flesh. Our flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh can get us in trouble every time. Jesus gave the antidote right here. It is written. He quoted scripture. So when you have an issue like anger, you have an issue like fear, you have an issue like anxiety, worry, constant, all that kind of stuff. Guys, there are scriptures for all of that. There are scriptures in the Word of God. And if you need scriptures on a certain topic, They're easy to find. And you can look up like the word fear in the back of your Bible in the concordance, and there will be several scriptures like 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so the antidote for all this, remember, the poison is the temptation. It's the awful thing that the devil throws at us and tries to trip us up with, like anger when we're driving, etc. The antidote for that, the remedy, is it is written. And you say, be gone, Satan, verse 10. I was making fun this morning about how some of us fight in the spirit, wasn't I, Nan?
Yes, you were.
And I was saying a lot of us have this wimpy little voice, go away from me, Satan, go ahead, go, go, get going. You know, and it's like so wimpy, so wimpy. I love that old commercial from years and years. Wimpy versus hefty, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I was making a point that Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it has been written. Okay? And when we are fighting those temptations of the flesh, of the pride of life, the lust, and all the other stuff that the devil throws at us, guys, we got to fight it with, be gone, Satan, not like, get away from me, go, go. We've got to get hefty about this. We got to get strong, Nan. Talk to us about this. We cannot let the devil run roughshod off of us, all over us, and cause us to do and say things that we regret later.
Well, I know I'm dealing with a situation right now that y'all know about, and I want to amplify here on he used scripture, and that's what I've done and am doing in my situation. I've got three different key sets of scriptures that I'm using, that I'm quoting, that I am saying, Satan, this is what it says. It's basically I'm doing the same thing Jesus was doing because he has set the example. This is what we need to do. It's like, Satan, here's what the word says about this. Satan, here's what the word, you know, and it's like, it doesn't matter how many times you have to say that a day. Grab onto a scripture, hold that scripture true to you, say that scripture as often as you need to, just have it upon your lips all times.
Right.
That's, you know, it. And that it will flee.
It will.
You know, that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He quoted, I mean, Satan just thought, oh, I got him now.
Right.
And then Jesus quoted a scripture. And it happened three times. And then he went away.
Three because is a significant number in scripture.
Yeah, he realized that he couldn't have a hold on him. He was not falling for his little tricks. And I think that's what, you know, we need to do. I think there's times that we fall for his tricks.
Right.
And when we fall for his tricks, you know, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord will check us on that and say, okay,
yeah,
look
yeah,
what happened.
He does. God does. Remind us. Listen to this song. I played it all the way to church this morning, and we played it at the end of the service, Jesus Loves Me by Chris Tomlin. Because he does, dear listener. Jesus loves you just the way you are. And he wants you to learn how to walk in peace and joy. And his love.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms, Jesus.
Yes, he does. He loves you, dear listener. God has a plan for your life and a purpose for you. And he loves you so very, very much. Go ahead, Nan.
I love you just as you are. Don't you see that I do just as you are? Don't you see that I do care? I will help you through all things. To me, bring praising. That's what you're to come to me praising. That's what you're to bring. Read my word, for out of it are issues in life. I am with you, helping you with your strife. Child, don't consider running away. Know that for you I am making the way. You know, in that last little, two little lines, I thought of myself when I first came to Beacon. We affectionately began calling me Jonah.
We did.
Remember? And it went on for a while because I was running from God for a while, you know?
Were. Yeah.
And it wasn't as a cruel way. It kind of became kind of a joke, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I quit running one day. I quit running because everywhere I ran, he was there. And I quit running, and that's been the best decision I've made in my life.
And there's people out there in radio land, whether they listen live or later, that are running. They're running because they have slipped into a way of life, perhaps, where they can't change their mind and they can't change their behavior because there are habits that have been so entrenched that it's hard for them to break them and to come running to Jesus. And that's why I love that song, He Loves Me. You know, Jesus loves me. We sang it in Sunday school. I grew up a preacher's missionary's kid. And so from the first time I can remember as a little kid singing Jesus Loves Me. And, you know, we teach our kids to sing that because it's so true. And dear listener, Jesus loves you right where you are right now, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter if you have an anger issue, if you have a substance abuse problem, whether or not you have a physical violence problem, whether you have anxiety, worry, whatever your problems are. God wants you to run to him and let him work them out. That's what he wants. Because as Jesus said here, and as John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:2, and now in Matthew 4:17, both people, John the Baptist and Jesus, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what that means? At hand means something's right there for you to be able to take it. Okay? If you say, here, I've got this money for you. It's right here in my hand. It's at hand. It's right there for you to take it. But here's where the rub comes in. We got to take it, Nan. Betty, talk to us about this. We got to take it.
Well, it's so readily available. We don't have to go looking for it. It's right there in front of us. Just the mention of his name brings brings heaven down, brings the Holy Spirit into our presence. And we have to learn to talk, to not, like what you said, be wimpy. Is in most cases when we get in a predicament, we run away from God.
Oh yeah,
and that's where we need
human
to
nature.
Run towards
yeah,
him.
We run
and
away. Yeah,
we have to. That's just our human nature. But the thing is, it's fight or flight. It's the way it is in the animal kingdom. And that's what God wants us to do. He does it. He wants us to stand, and he will fight for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And we have to be bold.
Amen.
in our thinking and in our praying and in our, even when we meditate, is that we have to be vigilant, and we have to be ever present. So, hey, I'm getting ready to head to church.
All right, go. We've loved having you on. Thank you, Betty. Appreciate your time.
And I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you guys. I love you both.
I love you, Betty.
And speak a blessing over both of you.
Thank you, dear. You. We'll see you soon.
Praise
God.
See you soon, guys.
Thank you, Betty Thomas.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what, you know, when Jesus said that we should pray, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will in heaven, Nan, is that we are walking in victory. Jesus came to show us the Father. He also came to show us how we should fight. And we're going to see in the next few chapters, he shows us how to take authority. He shows us that in heaven, we've got that authority. We got to bring that from heaven to earth, right?
Right.
What God desires for us has to be brought from heaven to us in our conduct. We have to change and say, okay, Jesus, you modeled this. This is how you behaved. You said the same thing John the Baptist said. Repent, change your mind for the better, heartily amend your ways. Be sorry for your past sins. Talk to us.
Well, what came to my mind a while ago, and I was going to say it, and I think now's the right time to say it, just in my spirit, I feel there's people listening who are like embarrassed. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Their behavior. And they don't know what to do with that. You know, I mean, they keep doing it, but then they're embarrassed after. I mean, I've had some episodes in parking lots, on the road, that I was embarrassed of afterwards. After I came back down off that high of being angry, it's like, I can't believe I just did that. How stupid was that? You know? And I think that people, in being repentant, they also need to, I'm going to kick this one in there, that they need to forgive themselves.
Oh, I agree.
That comes along with leaving it behind, like you
talk
just
about
said.
That. Yes,
I mean, I can look back and just think of all kind of things that I needed to forgive myself of, and for me, it's easier to forgive other people than it is to forgive myself. Yeah, I have to walk around with me all day long. I just see you whenever I see you at church, on the phone, text, email, however, that's my contact with you, but my contact with me is 24/7, you know, and we have to be able to be repentant, to make a change, but in the midst of that, forgive ourselves. God forgives us.
So
why can't we
true.
Forgive ourselves?
Why can't we?
Because it's hard, because we don't, sometimes people don't know how to forgive themselves, or because it was so bad what they did.
Right, or they're embarrassed.
They're embarrassed.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people are so kind of awestruck about how they behaved. And so they will instead say, no, it wasn't that bad. No, I didn't mean that. Right, right, right. You just misunderstood. Right, right, right. And put blame shift.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. It's everybody else's fault, not mine.
Yeah. Well, they made me do that because blah, blah.
Right.
I wouldn't have done that if they hadn't blah, blah, whatever. Right?
Yes.
And so when we have that kind of reaction to our inappropriate behavior, whether that's being outbursts of anger, meanness, hatred, gossip, whatever it might be. When we have the reaction of somebody else made me do it, it's going to be hard to forgive ourselves a lot of times because, number one, a lot of times when we really start thinking clearly, we realize, wait a minute, they didn't make me do it. I did it, you know? But owning up and taking responsibility is hard for a lot of people.
Well, one of the things you just said that I want to amplify on is gossip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people, they like to gossip. People gossip. And then it's been my experiences in churches that people like to gossip. And they don't take ownership of what they're doing as being wrong. So they don't come into a scenario of truly repenting because they want to keep doing what they're doing. They don't want to stop. They like to tear the preacher down. They like to tear the Sunday school superintendent down, whoever. They like to tear them down with gossip.
And then if they start it and they find a friend or two or three or four or ten, then it becomes something they're all talking about.
Well, you know,
you've been in church all your life.
Yes.
You've seen it.
I just was reminded of there was a time someone came to us, my husband and I, came to us with something they had to share with us about the preacher. And we're like, okay, fantastic. Well, let's go talk to the preacher. Well, they didn't want to do that because what they said was not true. If it was true, they'd have said, yes, let's go talk to the preacher. So we squished it with regards to her telling us anything else because we're going to confront it with the situation.
Mm-hmm. It's
so
a good way to handle
it. About that anymore. Yeah. I mean, we're going to buy into that.
Well, it says in Matthew chapter 18, you got a or 15, got a problem with your brother, go to your brother, right?
Right.
Or 18. It's 18, 15. Chapter 18, verse 15. But go to your brother, you know, and talk it out and get it, air it out, right? But a lot of times people do not do that because perhaps they have blown it out of proportion and told people, and they don't want to bring it up because they don't want to get caught, right?
Right. Yeah, they don't want to get caught. But they need to come to a point to realize, I mean, they got to know it's wrong. Basically, you're gossiping, you're lying. Well, let me just get point blank here. If you're gossiping and it's not true, it's gossip.
Not, if it's not true, yeah.
If it's not true, that's lying.
Right. But a lot of people take some truth and then they blow it up. But that's what the devil does too, because he's the accuser of the brethren, right? So he'll take a little bit of truth and then he'll just magnify that thing and blow it up and make it worse than it really is.
He does do that.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus says in verse 17 of Matthew 4, it's not just John the Baptist. We see both of them saying the same thing. In Matthew 4:17, Jesus says the same thing as John the Baptist does in Matthew 3:2. Repent, change your mind, amend your ways, be sorry for your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I find this fascinating because the forerunner, John the Baptist, was to announce and show us the Messiah. The very concepts that John the Baptist preaches in the desert are the very same that when Jesus starts to preach, he says the same thing, Nan. Don't you find that interesting? I'd never noticed it until this series. I had never noticed this parallel.
Well, it shows the closest of the relationship that John had with God.
Right. Exactly.
To be able to bring forth the words that needed to be brought forth at that time. And then Jesus kind of confirmed that when he said what he did, which was the same thing.
Exactly.
And we can be like little Johns running around. We can share with people the good news. We can do like John did and introduce them to Jesus.
Well, that's what John did. He showed them, here's the Messiah you've been waiting on. And here's the essence of the gospel. You got to repent. Mm-hmm. You got to change your behavior. You got to change your way of thinking. And for some of you out there today and you're going, boy, this is kind of strong. Yeah, that's the gospel. You know, you want a better life. You want to have more peace in your mind. Learn to repent. You want to have more purpose in your life. And why are you here anyway? Learn to repent. You want to get along better with your spouse or people in your life at work or people in your family, your friends, learn to repent. Talk to me about that, Nan.
If I do something wrong now, I'm actually pretty quick to come to a point of repentance. In a previous church, I mean, I was just reminded one of the ladies said there's one thing about you. You'll own up to what you've done.
Yes.
And to come as a real repentive type of thing and go through the four stages of what was listed in John, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I find living is so much better living like that. Not that I don't go around doing stuff all the time. I mean, you know me. You know my life, you know. Mm-hmm. But if something happens.
To know you is to love you.
To know me is to love me. But if something happens or I'm quick to come to that point. Because my relationship with Jesus and God is so much that I don't want to do something that's going to make me feel separated. We're not separate. God's always there with us. Jesus is in our life. But to kind of feel a separation because I've not been pleasing to him because I did something really stupid.
That's right. Right, exactly. And so when we do these stupid things, talk about that separation. Talk about that, why we feel separated.
Well, let's compare it to a friendship. Say, okay, well, let's use you tonight. You're my pastor. You're a friend of mine.
Sure.
And if I do something wrong towards you, for one thing, I'm embarrassed. I would be embarrassed about it if I were to do something like that. And I would want to not necessarily be right with you because you knew that I did that. Mm-hmm. And you knew that I wasn't repented of that. And I would be almost separating myself from you because of what I did.
Sure.
And that's the way it is, you know, with God, that separation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even that during that time of separation, if it goes on, if it's not cut pretty quickly and repented pretty quickly. If it goes on, that gives Satan a larger foothold.
It does.
To try to get into our thinking, into our everything about us, because the longer that period goes on, the larger that Satan can try to move in the scene and cause issues. I mean, then it really can become a big deal. But that separation is so sad. It's sad to be separated.
Let's bring that concept right down to our human interactions. So if you're mad at somebody or you've said something behind their back and you really wish you hadn't and you really want to make it right, and then you hear that they've heard you said that, right? And then the gulf gets bigger and bigger between, right? And you really don't want to call and talk to them because you're going to have to own up to what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, that's where Jesus says, you got a problem with your brother, go talk to the brother. Right?
Right,
sister, whoever it is, and we tend to, as humans, don't want to own up to it because we're embarrassed, or we know we did wrong, and we really don't want to be called out on it, or we don't want anybody to find out about it, or right. So you want to talk about any of that?
Well, it just goes back to what you just said about the embarrassment.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's been times that maybe I did something stupid and. You know, and I really had to go to the person and ask them to forgive me. And that was part of my repentance.
Sure.
That's difficult.
Well, it is humans. Difficult.
As humans, that's difficult to do. That is difficult to do.
It is.
But the Holy Spirit will help us to be able to do that.
He will.
And we need to do that. We, you know, that kind of stuff can cause all kind of dissension in churches.
Oh, yeah.
It has in past times that I've seen.
Of course it has.
Because of someone this and that and talking about this person, talking about that person. Guess what they did? You know, it just gets blown out of proportion.
You know, I guess this show took quite a different turn than I thought it would. But it's coming all around the concept of repentance. And I think this is foundational to the teachings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because John the Baptist, that's what he was teaching. Jesus starts teaching, he starts with repentance. Okay? Did you see that corollary?
Yes,
and do you
I
see
did.
The mm-hmm. the how it all fits together?
Yes.
And God is right there to walk with us, guys. No matter what it is we've got going on, God wants to walk right there through that storm with us.
I just thought of something. Something I just did. It just brought a parallel here to me. I didn't have my glasses on because I take them off when I'm looking at stuff close up. And I'm like, well, you know, I want to be able to see Pastor a little bit better. So I just put my glasses on. I can see you a lot better now.
Okay.
That's the way it is with us.
It
and
is,
God.
Isn't it?
And the Word.
Mm-hmm.
We bring the Word and we start reading the Word. And the Word says
right.
repent.
And we go, oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I don't want to do it. But it's like it enlightens us.
Yes.
And it brings to our realization that just like my glasses, it brought you in clear. I can see you perfectly clear.
Okay.
I can see any expressions on your face. I can see. And that's the way the Word of God is with us.
Yeah.
To help us. The Word is there to help us to see. Jesus is the Word. That's what the Word says. And
exactly.
John, Jesus is the Word.
He's the Word. The Word is what clarifies our vision.
You know, so...
We're not alone. Listen to this song by Carrie Job. I love it. I'm not alone. You're not alone, dear listener. God's right there to help you through whatever you're going through.
Through the dark of night. You're my defender. You're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful.
Dear listener, you are not alone. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of whatever painful situation you're in right now, God wants you to hear that you are not alone. He is right there for you. All he asks is that you run to him. That's it. All he asks is that you acknowledge his presence. Some of you out there may say, well, I don't even know that I'm God's kid. Then pray that prayer and ask him to enter your heart and forgive you. Repent and forgive you for everything that you said or done that was not pleasing to him. Invite Jesus to come in and live on inside of you and become your Savior and your Lord. That's what we've got to do. You are not alone. Nan, what did God give you during that song?
You are not alone, little one. I see what has been done. I will help you in all that you face. You will make it all by my grace. My love for you is so strong. I will help you and right the wrongs. I will carry you through all things of your cares and concerns to me now bring. You know, some people might be saying, but you don't know what I'm facing. And they're right. If they haven't shared it with us, we don't know what they're facing. But I could also say, you don't know what I've faced. And our faith increases as we continue to trust God. As we see him move in situations in our lives, it prepares us for the next step. But I mean, you know, we need to move forward with God and reading his word and having faith in him. And
right.
We need to remember that we are not alone.
Amen.
We are not alone.
Yes.
I mean, in the dead still of the night. Sometimes you're laying there and there's no sounds going on if you don't have the TV or the radio going or something or a CD playing. And just the quietness. I just love that quietness.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
But I'm not alone. He's with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the quietness, it's when we get quiet before him that we can hear him, you know? And when we are talking, we can't hear him a lot of times. But when we are absolutely quiet, Lord, speak to me. He'll lead you to a passage of scripture. Mm-hmm. He'll help you find something in a notebook. He will say, my child, whatever, and he'll speak to your heart, right?
He will. You know, within the past couple of weeks, I guess it was, I was doing this and doing that and doing different things, and God was like, you just need to be still. You need to be still and hear me. So I got still and quiet. And I heard him more loudly than I was hearing him because I had all this external stuff going on.
And when our mind's going a mile a minute, we can't hear God.
No.
You know, when we are like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. This is why I use paper and pen a lot. And I write down, okay, I got to do this tomorrow morning, this. I write it down so I can push it out of my mind,
mm-hmm.
really, and not be thinking about that. Yep, I won't forget it. It's right there on that paper on my desk. Okay, I do that intentionally. Because I'm, as a realtor and pastor, there's a lot of things I'm doing, right? I got my hands in a lot of things. So as I write things down, then I can dismiss it. And then I can be more open to hear God's voice. You know what I mean?
I do kind of the same thing. I list stuff in my calendar. And
yeah.
I don't mark it with a pen. I use a highlighter.
Yeah, I like marking it off, too.
I
mark it off in red after I've written it in blue or black. Yeah, mark it off in red. I love that check mark.
Yes.
Know,
mm-hmm.
That got done. So, I mean, I think that so often we don't hear God. Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. Okay, they do. We can hear his voice. Okay, I hear him. You hear him.
Right.
I mean, even as we go through each one of these shows, I'm to the point now, I don't plan the music in advance. I don't. I used to. We used to have it all marked out. We don't do that now. I just come in here with a whole set of CDs here right in front of me, and that as the Lord says, do this song, do that song. I mean, it's flowing in the Spirit and allowing God to speak to you, right?
Yes.
In a sermon. I don't have notes, hardly at all. It is letting the Holy Spirit, I know a general idea where I'm going, but it usually doesn't end up, just like the show today didn't end up where I thought it was going to go. It's fine. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That's listening. Go ahead, finish that up, because we're getting up to the top of the hour here, Nan.
Wow, it's hard to believe it's been already 2 hours. We just can't stress about the repentance. Getting back to that, we need to move forward in our lives in a repentant manner. We need to be still and wait on God.
We do. Every bit of that. And when we do that, then we're going to hear God's voice. And then we're going to be able to move directly into what he has for us. But if there's things blocking the voice of God, a lot of times it's our own unrepentance.
Right, right.
It's our own stuff that's clogging the drain, you know, and we're not hearing it correctly. You know, if you got a sink that's clogged up and you pour Drano in it, you have to let it sit with Drano, because I just did this on my bathroom sink. You have to let it sit for at least 15 minutes, and then you pour hot water in it to break the clog, whatever it might be. That so often is where we are. We need to let it sit. We need to allow God's Spirit to permeate us, and then we just need to let his hot presence, his presence just invade us.
That reminds me of something at my parents' house. Their sink in their kitchen, it keeps getting clogged up once in a while. So my father, now, because he basically does all the dishes, my father, he will literally scrape any little thing off of plate or bowl goes in the garbage. Nothing will go in that sink.
Because
it clogs it up. And so he is proactive, and if I don't do it just right, he'll come behind me and fix my plate, you know. But right. I mean, it clogs it up, and we need to watch what we bring into ourselves. We need to watch what we're looking at.
Amen.
Who we're hanging with.
Yes, we do.
What we're saying.
Right.
We need to watch what comes
what
in our
thinking.
Minds and what we're thinking and what we're doing. We need to watch that, because
true
it'll
repentance.
Clog us up.
True repentance. That's great. Thank you, Nan Watson. You're amazing. Betty Thomas went on to church. Thank you, Betty Thomas. As always, we love our radio team members. What a joy you all are. Thank you, Nan. Thank you, Betty. Woo! Praise God. God's working. What's he doing in your life? We'd love to hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I will answer you. So it's been a joy to be with you today, as it always is, right here on Living the Good Life. Go to tantalknetwork.com and go to podcasts, and you can hear this show again, Living the Good Life. Go there and you can hear it again. Also, I have been recording it on YouTube, and in just a minute, when I shut off YouTube, it'll go straight there on YouTube, YouTube/Tantalk Radio/Living the Good Life, and you'll look for today's date. God bless every one of you. We will see you next week right here on Living the Good Life. Have a good week. Send your prayer requests in to prayers@bohmglobal.com. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan, and Betty bringing you the word today from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. God bless you. See you next week.
Coronavirus spreads, the 2020 race. I'm Ann Cates. The coronavirus has spread to nearly 30 countries.